You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling the really fascinating world of candlestick charts.
We are. And our guide for this is Thomas N. Bulkowski's, enormous encyclopedia of candlestick charts.
The enormous is right. And this isn't just, some casual observation.
Not at all. It's grounded in some serious data analysis, nearly 5 million individual candle lines.
Wow.
Yeah, from 10 years of S&P 500 data, covers bull markets, bear markets, the works.
And he documented, 103 different patterns?
Exactly. Meticulously tracked how they behaved and performed.
Okay, so our mission today, for you listening, is to really pull out the core insights from all that research.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to get a handle on what these patterns are, how they actually performed historically, according to this huge study.
And importantly, some of the really surprising findings, where they just don't act like the textbooks say.
Exactly. It's kind of your shortcut to understanding this slice of market analysis, without drowning in data.
Good plan. So maybe for folks who are a bit newer to this, we should start right at the beginning.
Good idea.
What are we actually looking at with a candlestick?
Okay, yeah, let's break it down. So imagine one candle. It's like a snapshot for a trading period, say, one day.
Right.
It shows you four key things. The opening price, the highest price it hit.
The high, yep.
The lowest price it touched.
So low.
And where it finally closed. Now that main part, the body, it's either filled or hollow, right?
Usually white or black, or maybe green and red these days.
Right. And that tells you if the close was higher or lower than the open. White or green, close was higher. Black or red, close was lower.
Simple enough. And then you have those lines sticking out, the shadows.
Or wicks, yeah. Or tails.
Mm-hmm.
The one sticking out the top shows the absolute peak price for that day, or period.
And the lower shadow shows the bottom, the absolute lowest price reached.
Now, here's something really important to remember, I think.
Uh-huh.
You can definitely see white candles where the price went up from open to close, even if the overall trend is downwards.
Right. And the opposite is true, too. You'll see black candles pop up in a rising market.
Exactly. It's all about that specific period's open versus its close.
Okay, so that's the candle itself.
Mm-hmm.
But what really makes Bulkowski's work stand out is the sheer scale of the data he used.
Oh, absolutely. We need to stress this. This wasn't just looking at a few charts.
No way.
He used a computer program to go through almost 5 million candle lines.
5 million? That's a lot.
It really is. And his main database, 10 full years of data for all 500 stocks in the S&P 500.
So you're covering a huge range of market conditions there. Big bull runs, nasty bear markets.
Everything, which gives the findings a lot more weight, It's robust.
That kind of statistical power lets you uncover things you just wouldn't see otherwise. Things that might even contradict, standard chart wisdom.
And that leads us right into maybe the biggest surprise from the research.
Okay, I'm ready.
Get this. Bulkowski found that a whole bunch of these patterns just do not behave the way the theory says they should.
Uh-huh. Like reversal versus continuation.
Exactly. You read about reversal patterns, they're supposed to signal the trend is changing. Continuation patterns supposedly mean the trend keeps going.
Right. So for Bulkowski's testing, how did he define, success or failure?
Good question. It was about breakouts. For a pattern that's supposed to be, say, a bearish reversal.
Meaning the price should go down.
Right. If the price instead broke out upward, closing above the pattern's high, that was a failure of the reversal. It acted more like a continuation up.
Okay. And for a bullish continuation pattern?
If it broke out downward, closing below the pattern's low, that was a failure of the continuation. It acted like a reversal down.
Makes sense. So what was the big shocker?
The shocker was how often they failed, or rather, how often they did the opposite of what theory predicted. Take the bearish three-line strike.
Okay, bearish continuation, right. Price should keep falling.
That's the theory. But Bulkowski found in a bull market, it acted as a bullish reversal. Get ready for this. 84% of the time.
84%. Wow. So completely the opposite.
Completely. So the huge takeaway right there is that you can't just rely on the textbook definition. You have to look at the historical performance data.
That's a perfect example of why testing matters. What else surprised him? There was another one, the last engulfing bottom.
Ah, yes. That one's usually taught as a bullish reversal signal, right? End of a downtrend, start of an uptrend.
That's the classic interpretation. Looks like buyers are stepping in strongly.
But the data, it showed it actually acted as a continuation pattern, meaning the downtrend was more likely to just keep going somewhere around 65 to 67% of the time.
So again, the opposite of what you'd expect.
Yeah, pretty much flips the script.
And what about the hanging man? That one sounds ominous, usually seen as a bearish reversal at a top.
Exactly. Looks like the market is, you know, hanging up there about to fall. But guess what?
Let me guess. It acted bullish.
You got it. Bukowski found it acted as a bullish continuation pattern almost 60% of the time.
Huh. So price was more likely to keep going up, despite the scary looking candle.
Crazy, right? It just hammers home the point. Don't just trust the look or the name. Context and data are key.
Which brings us perfectly to the next critical point, the importance of the prevailing trend.
Yes, you absolutely cannot look at these patterns in a vacuum.
Bukowski makes that crystal clear. The trend is crucial context.
So how did he actually define trend in this massive study? Was there a specific tool?
He mostly used a 10-day exponential moving average, an EMA.
Okay, the 10-day EMA.
Yeah, as a starting point to gauge the underlying trend. An EMA just smooths out prices, giving more weight to recent action.
Right.
Now, he acknowledges no single trend definition is perfect. But with so much data, any minor issues with the EMA method would likely get smoothed out in the overall results.
So practically speaking, for someone listening, how should they think about incorporating trend?
Well, one tactic Bukowski highlights is trading bullish candle patterns within a rising primary trend.
Okay, so the main tide is going up.
Exactly. And then you look for these bullish signals maybe during a temporary pullback, a dip in that uptrend.
Makes sense, like buying the dip, but with a candle confirmation.
Kind of. For instance, imagine you see a morning doji star pattern. That's typically bullish reversal.
Right.
Now, if the short-term trend leading into it was down for a few days, but the longer-term trend, say that 10-day EMA, is still clearly pointing up, that bullish signal might be more reliable in that specific context. It aligns with the bigger picture.
Got it. Context is king. So besides trend, what other factors did Bukowski find really influenced how these patterns played out?
Several things popped up as important. One of the biggest was breakouts, which we touched on earlier.
Right. Price closing above the pattern's high or below its low.
Exactly. Yeah. An upward breakout happens when price closes above the pattern's highest high.
Yeah.
Downward breakout, price closes below the pattern's lowest low.
Okay.
And it's the direction of that breakout combined with the prior trend that really tells you if it's acting as a continuation or a reversal.
Makes sense. What about gaps? You know, those spaces on the chart, sometimes called windows in candlestick terms?
Yeah, gaps or windows, areas where no trading happened between, say, yesterday's high and today's low, or vice versa.
Are they reliable support or resistance zones?
Well, here's another surprise. Bukowski found that rising windows, gaps in an uptrend, they only acted as overhead resistance, meaning price struggled to get above the gap about 20% of the time in a bull market, even less, like 16% in a bear market.
Hmm. So that common idea that gaps get filled or act as strong resistance isn't really borne out strongly by the data.
Seems not, or at least not as consistently as some might think.
What about falling windows, gaps in a downtrend? Same story for support.
Pretty similar, yeah. Falling windows only provided reliable underlying support, stopping prices from falling further within the gap, about 25% of the time in bull markets and maybe 33% in bear markets.
Interesting. So again, visually they look important, but statistically, maybe not automatic support resistance points.
Exactly. Need to be cautious about assuming.
Okay, what else? Does it matter where a pattern shows up? Like a high or low in the overall price range for the year?
Absolutely. Location, 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 right.
Okay.
He found reversal patterns work best near the extremes.
Okay.
Patterns showing up within the top third of the yearly high range, they were most likely to be genuine bearish reversals.
And bottom third.
Those appearing in the bottom third of the yearly low range were most likely to be genuine bullish reversals.
That makes intuitive sense, like exhaustion points.
Exactly. Buying or selling climax potential.
What about the candles themselves? Does size matter? Like tall candles versus short ones?
It does seem to. Yeah. Generally, tall candles tended to outperform short ones.
Regardless of direction.
Yeah. Whether it was an upward or downward breakout, tall candles generally had better follow through. And candles with longer shadows, those wicks, also tended to perform better than ones with short shadows.
Okay. Tall bodies, tall shadows seem more significant. What about volume? Trading activity.
Crucial. Heavy volume on the breakout day. That usually led to the best performance, strong confirmation.
High conviction move.
Right. And another interesting point, breakouts that happened below the 50-day moving average often led to stronger moves afterwards.
Below the 50-day MA. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, maybe indicating a more significant shift is underway.
All right, we've covered the big picture factors. Let's maybe touch on a few specific patterns and some interesting quirks Bilkowski found. You mentioned one earlier, the 12 new price lines.
Ah, yes. That's simply 12 days in a row where the price makes a new high for that specific move.
Sounds bullish, but you said it often ends in a reversal.
Often, yes.
Yeah.
And interestingly, if that last candle, the 12th one, is significantly taller than the ones before it, that's an even stronger hint of a potential reversal.
Any other observations on that one?
Yeah, he noted that retracements after this pattern often find support above the 38% Fibonacci level. And if you see a flat base, like a consolidation period, form within those 12 days, sometimes that can lead to an explosive rally upwards afterwards.
Okay, quite a bit of nuance there. What about the abandoned baby? Sounds dramatic.
It looks dramatic, too. It's a rare three-candle pattern. You have a candle, then a gap, then a doji candle, tiny body, then another gap, then a final candle moving the other way.
So the doji is stranded, abandoned?
Pretty much. The bullish version generally performed well, according to Bilkowski. The main exception was in bull markets. If it broke out downwards, then it didn't do so well.
Okay.
But interestingly, it actually performed better overall in bear markets than bull markets, and it tended to outperform the S&P 500 index.
Huh. Okay, next up, above the stomach. That's a unique name.
It is. It's a two-candle pattern. An upward breakout from it is seen as a bullish reversal.
And how did it fare?
It performed better in bear markets, actually. And upward breakouts were generally more reliable than downward ones.
Mm.
Like the abandoned baby, it also tended to beat the S&P 500 overall.
And it's opposite below the stomach.
That's a two-candle bearish pattern. One observation there was that for tall candles within this pattern, the body itself often seemed to provide resistance or support later on.
Interesting. What about the belt hold? Sounds like something strong.
Yeah, the bullish belt hold is a single candle. It opens right at its low for the day and then rallies to close near the high. Looks quite strong.
So, always bullish.
Not necessarily where you find it. Bilkowski advises against looking for it in a primary downtrend.
Ah, okay.
It's apparently more reliable when it shows up in a pullback during an established uptrend. It usually breaks out upward.
Any specific conditions where it works best?
Reversals are most likely if it forms near the yearly high. Confirmation using an opening gap seems helpful. And, like we heard before, breakouts below the 50-day EMA often led to the best results.
Okay, so many layers. We've only stretched the surface of these 103 patterns. Maybe just a couple more quick hits on patterns with surprising behavior.
Sure. The bearish breakaway, extremely rare. He barely found any.
Okay, skip that one, though.
The bullish breakaway shows up after a long decline, looks good with an upward break on a tall white candle, but he notes it often runs into resistance pretty quickly.
Good to know. Short candles.
Short black candles. Generally poor performance overall. Short white candles were basically random continuation about half the time.
Coin flip.
Pretty much. Though breakouts below the 50-day EA did better. And weirdly, a close near the middle of the short white candle often performed best.
That is weird. What about, say, stick sandwich?
Another rare three-candle pattern. Best performance came when it was part of a downward dip within a bigger uptrend.
And the Takuri line sounds Japanese.
It is. It's basically a hammer candle, but with a much longer lower shadow. Suggests a bullish reversal.
Works best when?
Best when it's near the yearly low, when that lower shadow is particularly tall.
Makes sense. Okay, what about some really common ones, like three black crows? Bearish reversal, right?
Yep. Three declining black candles. He found that if the next day also closes lower, that really confirms the reversal strongly. Interestingly, if this pattern shows up near the yearly low, it's more likely to act as a reversal. And here's a twist. He suggests maybe even considering buying if price breaks out upward after this usually bearish pattern forms. Wow, playing the failure. What about three white soldiers, the bullish version? That one actually performed quite well as a bullish reversal signal, both in bull and bear markets. High success rate.
Good to know. Maybe just a couple more quick ones. Bullish TriStar and tweezers.
Okay. Bullish TriStar is three dojis. Middle one is lower. It's a bullish reversal if the main trend is down, but can also lead to good gains if it appears even within an uptrend.
And tweezers. Bottom and top.
Tweezers, bottom, bullish reversal. Look for upward breaks if the main trend is up, downward breaks if the main trend is down. Reversals work best near yearly highs, continuations near yearly lows.
Bit complex there.
Yeah, context again. Tweezers top is the bearish version, and it performed better in bear markets.
Okay, that's a whirlwind tour of just a few. Before we wrap this incredible deep dive, what's the one single most crucial takeaway from Bulkowski's massive work?
I think it's this. While the encyclopedia is amazing for detailing individual patterns, he himself stresses that in the real world, you're usually looking at patterns together, in combination, and alongside other technical tools and indicators.
Right. Don't get tunnel vision on one single candle pattern.
Exactly. Don't rely on them in isolation. Context is everything.
So let's try and summarize this deep dive for everyone listening. Candlestick charts, they offer this really rich visual language for price action.
Definitely. Very intuitive in some ways.
But, and it's a big but, how these patterns are supposed to work according to theory? Well, it often doesn't match the historical data.
Precisely. You absolutely need to consider the context, the overall trend, where the pattern shows up in the yearly range.
Things like the candle size, the shadow length, and definitely the volume on the breakout.
Right. All those factors can seriously refine your interpretation and, frankly, improve your odds compared to just using the textbook definition.
Which leads us to maybe a final provocative thought for you to chew on. If so many of these individual patterns don't reliably do what they're supposed to do, what does that tell us about market psychology at those specific moments? Are these patterns just noise, fleeting signals?
Or do they reflect something deeper about sentiment, something more nuanced that requires that extra layer of context to understand properly?
Yeah, it makes you think, doesn't it? Are we seeing predictable behavior or just momentary blips?
It's a great question. And honestly, this deep dive, it's really just scratched the surface of those 103 patterns Bulkowski covers.
For sure.
So for anyone looking to really sharpen their technical analysis skills, digging deeper into specific patterns, maybe testing them against your own observations, that could be really valuable.
And check out the resources mentioned in the book, like the author's website, perhaps.
Absolutely. There's a wealth of information out there if you want to keep exploring. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.